size of a garden hose, Lee. Mozzarella sticks that you could basically, you know, take batting practice with.
You had 3 of 12, right? You guys took down 3 of the 12.
One and a half each. There was a lot still left in the plate. It was a lot of mozzarella cheese. Too
much. The thing about mozzarella sticks is they don't just sit inside of you at all.
No, it's like having an apple.
Exactly. That's a smoothie. Just a nice green smoothie.
So when we went to Vegas, right, we took the...
You went to the rental car place that was 68 miles away.
So we come back. We land at John Wayne. We get on the van. We go to where we parked our car. Okay. Open the car door. It's like, oh, God, what? Somebody left something in this car. Susan left the sippy cup. What's it? The tumbler kind of thing. Yeah. That she had a smoothie on the way to the airport on Friday morning, and she left a swig or two in the smoothie or the jug or whatever it is.
Those are fine. You could actually have those sit out for 3 weeks, no problem.
It's like someone had done something unspeakable to that car. It sat in the sun for 3.5 days, no windows open.
Oh my gosh.
So when you say smoothie, that's the first thing that popped into my head. I'd rather she left an apple in there. That would have been a better deal. You got a game coming up tonight. You've got a little former Laker Julius Randle doing his thing. And it's been a weird kind of deal for him, right? That he left the Lakers and went to New Orleans and kind of then went to the Knicks. And the Knicks he had a great season the first year. And then the next year they were trying desperately to dump him and get out of his contract. And here we are now at Julius Randle is, you know, a very important player on a team that's, you know, slightly above average.
So this is, I've kind of done this before. If I told you, before the season started, if I presented you this question, there's kind of some fascination, a little bit. Lakers had a young core, and you kind of see what they're all doing now. You had Brandon Ingram. You had Lonzo Ball. You had D'Angelo Russell. You had Jordan Clarkson. You had Kyle Kuzma. You had Julius Randle. Mm-hmm. There's a handful of guys that used to represent the Lakers at a really young age, and then whether they got traded in that deal or they went in other moves, whatever the case is. So if I told you before the season started, who's been the best player of all those young guys, for me, it was always B.I. Brandon Ingram, I think, is the best player of all. I think he's got the best future. And tonight, Lakers are taking on Julius Randle and the Knicks. And this is me just prepping for the pregame, and I'm like, damn, those are Randle stats. Randle stats this year, just under 25 points a game, just under 11 rebounds a game, and 4 assists a game. Okay.
Impressive.
They've played 51 games this year. How many do you think he's played?
The fact that you're asking me leads me to believe that it's 51.
51 games. Yeah. He's played every game this year. Yeah. Okay.
Does he not know that you're only supposed to play like in 75% of them? That's what you do.
You know the coach is there? Thibodeau.
Yeah. Thibodeau. He'll have multiple knee replacements when he's 35 years old.
But I only point that out because Julius Randle is the best player on a playoff team.
Okay.
They are a playoff team right now. Mm-hmm. They're seventh place, and they're right there with six. That's a real playoff team. I'm not telling you they're top four. I'm not telling you they're going to win a round. I'm telling you that they're in the playoffs. B.I. has played 17 games this year, and he ain't better than Zion, I'll tell you that right now.
No.
If you want to call him second, but a lot of people say C.J. McCollum is a really important piece to them. He's not the best player on their team, okay? Kyle Kuzma is about to get a contract.
He's going
to
get paid.
He's going to get paid.
Yep.
He ain't better than Bradley Beal. No. And there, I think you could say they're in the play-in tournament range, whatever the case is. Kind of go down the list. Jordan Clarkson's averaging 20 points a game this year. He ain't better than Lauri Markkanen, who's going to be the Utah Jazz kind of player, and then they'll build it from there. Lonzo, I don't know the last time I've seen Lonzo play a basketball game. So I just bring that up. You know, it was interesting kind of getting ready for the pre, and I'm like, damn, is Randle the... Did Julius Randle become the best player of all those young pieces? And I didn't think his game was polished enough to be that. He was kind of that in-between, undersized.
He's kind of a bull in a china shop when he would play.
Perfect example. So yeah. I'm curious to watch him tonight, but he is kind of, as the dust is settling, probably the best of all those young pieces.
He might be, but I love this topic because none of them, I think, are guys you have to have. I think they're all. I think there are varying degrees of guys that put in the right situation, they're fine. To your point about Randall in New York, he's the best player on a seventh place team.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
congratulations. Mm-hmm. Brandon Ingram doesn't play. Congratulations. Oh, he's going to be this. Yep, he doesn't play. He's hurt all the time. And when he does, they lose. You know, I know that this year they're pretty good. He hasn't played.
They've lost eight in a row since Zion went out.
There you go. So they're right. Just... this Brandon Ingram. Oh, then why do they lose all the time? If he's D'Angelo Russell, you didn't even mention. He's bounced around a lot. He's okay, but you don't have to have him. Jordan Clarkson's kind of the guy that has been
a solidified role.
Yes,
and it wasn't a star player. Yes. It was actually a dude coming off the bench.
It was a dude coming off the bench, and seems to be a guy that is can be a part of good teams. He was on part of a good team in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. This Utah team's okay.
They're actually even after trading Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. 100%.
They're way beyond where anybody thought that they would be, for sure. But my point with all of these guys are, and basically, the reason they're all gone are because of LeBron and AD. Give me those two guys all day long. Like, you know what I mean? Like this, oh, we could have kept this guy or that guy. None of those guys, I don't want to talk potential. I want to talk what they've done. Nobody has really been, they really made a mistake by letting those guys go. Lonzo never plays. Ingram is in and out of the lineup.
Yep.
Randall's the best player on a mediocre team. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. And D'Angelo Russell, we don't even really talk about. And Clarkson's a nice role player.
Yep.
And Kuzma is a good player on a bad team. They made the right decisions in all of these things. None of those guys, nobody went somewhere else. It's like it turned into Luka or Steph or one of these players. Like, I can't believe we picked him second. We didn't let it develop, and he turned into this. None of those guys have.
You know what it typically comes down to is if you hit in the draft, remember Lakers took Lonzo and then Tatum went third? So it's those situations where you know pretty much within the first couple of years that dude hit, right? And it didn't have to be a top three pick. Giannis was picked where?
14th.
Kawhi was later in the draft, right? Like, I'm not saying it has to be one of the top three picks, but none of those guys at the time that you had them, did you ever think that B.I. is going to be one of the top five players in the league, top 10 players in the league? So that, by the way, made it easier for the Lakers when they made the trade for AD, because it's not that these guys don't have value. I'm a big fan of Lonzo's game. I think he's a really good quarterback for a team like the Chicago Bulls. He's not in a lineup.
He doesn't play.
Julius Randle, I'm not going to say I'm a big fan because I always thought he had holes in his game. He's doing a good job for the New York Knicks. You can't be a real team if Julius Randle's the best player on your team. The BI one's interesting because if he's the third best player on a team, I like that. I like that he would be the third best player on a team. We'll see if he's healthy enough to make it happen.
I know that I've been down on the Lakers this season and last season, and I'm deeply frustrated with Anthony Davis's inability to stay on the floor. I think that the Lakers need to be incredibly cautious about how they utilize their remaining assets in the last year or two or three or whatever it is of LeBron James's career. It was 1,000% worth it. That championship was not that long ago. None of those guys that have left have turned into, oh my God, I can't believe we had Kyle Kuzma and now we don't. These guys they're NBA players, but none of this is, we never should have done that. None of it. Anthony Davis has been out of the lineup basically the entire time he's been here, other than that first year.
Yeah.
And it's worth it. Because so are those other guys. And none of those guys have gone and been important parts of championship teams. Mm-hmm. It's 100% worth it. My fear is that worth it, 2 years from right now from the championship,
yep.
Worth it. 4 years? Okay. Five? Eight? Now, that's the part that scares me the most, that the further you get away from...
And there's no way telling until you are like 10 years away.
Of course not. You don't. But if you can't even potentially restock the pipeline... Then you know it's not going to be worth it.
Remember earlier this season, they start out 2-10, and the Pelicans have this year's Laker pick, right?
Right.
So he's like, what if Wembanyama ended up? So that's why you got to wait. That's why it's so unfair. Initially, you take a trade and you say, wow, we got this guy, and they got draft compensation, whatever the case is. That's why you got to kind of give it a second to marinate. Nobody will, but.
Maybe there's Timmy Wembanyama who's going to be available in 2029. You never know.
All of Giannis's brothers.
Maybe Giannis has
Kostas.
Right. Maybe there's LeBron James III who's going to come around at some point, and
Kostas
want to draft
got
him.
A ring before Giannis.
That's great. Right? You never know how it's going to shake out. You got to be careful. Let's try another one. Let's try D in L.A. D, you're on with Travis Lee. What's up?
Hey, how you doing? I feel like you guys are really disrespecting those players you're talking about. I feel like they were building the chemistry. None of them was Stephen Curry or Luka Doncic, but they had won 12 out of their last 15 games when they traded Clarkson and Ant. I feel that we were building something, and I feel that the team was becoming cohesive, and Laker fans are so spoiled. We won that 2020 championship. Come on, it's not real. We should have kept those young players and grabbed Kawhi Leonard or Paul George, somebody from the West Coast, and we will be fine. Anthony Davis, I love his game, but he's always hurt.
Hey, Dia, I'm going to jump in because I think what you just said was the most important thing right there. Said Laker fans are spoiled. You're right. You're right. And this is, you know whose fault that is? That's Dr. Jerry Buss's fault.
Magic for, Johnson's.
And all Shaquille of these O'Neal's, guys for creating just Kobe's. Winners every right. single year. And this is actually a perfect example. The Pelicans are a perfect market to do what they're doing, right? Like, that's the right market to do what you're doing. The Lakers didn't make the playoffs for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think that was okay, which, by the way, the longest the Lakers had ever gone without making the postseason was 2 years under Dr. Jerry Buss, mm-hmm. right? So 6 years seemed like it was 38 years. If the fan base, if his point is, if you just let this thing marinate and you left it alone and you didn't touch it and you still were not guaranteed a star of any of those players and you thought over time, give it another 3, 4, 5 years, this is what it would have looked like, I think you're taking such a risk and a chance to think that it's going to hit. That's very risky as well. And it's by the way, it's not what the Lakers do.
Well, here's the thing. I'm going to simplify this for the caller there. Do you concede that none of the guys that we're talking about are among the best players in the league?
No question about
okay,
it.
Okay, right.
Yeah, no question.
When was the last time a team won an NBA championship without one of the best players in the league?
Obviously, you take the Warriors out of the mix.
Right.
Take Toronto out of the mix because right. they had Kawhi.
Right.
Take Giannis and the Bucks out of the mix.
Right.
Keep going down the list. And right. I'm genuinely
Dirk,
trying to think. The only thing I could think of, and we'd have to go back all the way to the Pistons.
20 years ago.
But by the way.
And it happened.
But by the way, those Pistons teams, they had players. They just did not have the best player in the league.
They didn't have a top 10 player. They didn't have a top. They, mm-hmm. they had a bunch of top 30s or, mm-hmm. or 50s or whatever. You need to have one of the best players in the league to win an NBA championship. You do. If you look at the last 50, the times where you didn't have one of those guys, it's few and far between. It very, very rarely happens. None of those guys are that. LeBron James is, mm-hmm. and Anthony Davis is, and they did win. I get it. Those guys can fill a role here or there. You can't have a team full of role players that wins championships. It doesn't happen in basketball. You can do it in baseball. You can do it in football. You got the right piece here, the right coach there. In basketball, you have to have one of the best players in the league, and none of those guys are that.
And I will say this. I'm a fan of – I don't want to make it sound like – because I do like homegrown players. I do like that. I do think there's some to it. I think there's a little – you know, we talk about the Dodgers this upcoming year. I think there is some excitement to, I know, Dodger fans, they want to win a World Series, the whole thing. But I think it's also interesting to see some of these young players, and what if one of them pop? Like,
sure.
This is what you said. You said,
at least
Alan,
one will.
Here are five players that have popped for the Dodgers that have come through.
That.
Okay, so with all that said, there is some excitement about dudes that come up through your system or whatever the case is. But
basketball,
then
not
you
quite
can't
like
bring
that,
Bron
though.
Here. Yeah, then it changes everything. You can't bring Bron here and say, hey, LeBron, we're just going to have young pieces with you. Go get one or whatever the case is.
All right, got some more phone calls on this. And speaking of young Dodger players that come through the system, they got a decision to make on another one before too long. That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Why are you playing this one? Because this is a very specific thing for me.
Are you thinking hockey, Ducks?
Yeah. Exactly. This is the goal, this is the song they play when the Ducks score goals. Silver Chair, I want to say, Taylor?
Pennywise. Hermosa Beach.
High school.
Oh, yeah?
I used to hear this a lot. People go crazy. Everybody relax here.
Michael's a huge Anaheim Ducks fan. He watches games, the whole thing. Every time they score a goal, which they haven't done a lot of lately, but they're a little better in the last couple of weeks, he does the whoa in the living room. Loves
it. I haven't heard Pennywise in so long. That's funny to hear it. That's a great, for hockey, a goal scored.
It's awesome.
That's as good as it gets.
It's really good. It's really good. And you get an arena full of people doing it.
They should do that for every ball.
Ball one. Oh!
And the third inning, people are like, I'm leaving. This is annoying as
hell. I like it. You know what we should do? We should be on the promotions team for a major league. We should just come up with the wackest, goofiest stuff. Yeah. Like, after every ball, let's have a chant.
Yeah.
Like a soccer game.
Thanks, Tommy, for our input.
I don't think we'd last very long. Let's go to Encino and Brian. Brian, you're on with Trav and Slee. What's up, Brian?
Hey, how you doing? I just want to talk about how the trade was definitely in our favor. All those guys that we traded up, like everyone said earlier, no significant players. However, the turning point in this organization was the fact that we drafted Lonzo Bust over Jason Tatum, because Tatum, obviously he's better than AD right now, and we definitely did not need to trade Ford Westbrook. I think keeping KCP and Kuzma would have helped the team a lot better. We should have never broken up the 2020 roster.
So, thanks for the call, Brian.
Who was that? Was that KCP like 2 weeks ago? I'm going to try to find that quote.
It was KCP. Yeah. It was KCP. I agree with what he said mostly, but I just want to throw this in there. Not drafting Jason Tatum was a huge miss, a huge missed opportunity.
They didn't even hesitate. Do you remember Boston had the number one pick, traded to go back to three, knowing that Philly was going to take
Markelle
Fultz?
Who is the guy that they took? Markelle Fultz, that's what it is. And is he even in the league anymore?
I don't know. Maybe in Orlando or something like that.
That never panned out. And then Lonzo Ball has been, if we're being honest, has been a disappointment. He can't stay healthy. Mm-hmm. But what he was talking about, that he's better than AD, he's certainly more useful than AD. And I'm not trying to throw any sort of shade at Jason Tatum, who's terrific. He's terrific. He's probably still on an MVP list somewhere, right? He's having a great season. He's a really good player. When Anthony Davis is healthy and playing, I don't know if he's not as good and as valuable as Jason Tatum is. The problem is he doesn't play. I'm arguing against what I always say, Al. My point is, I don't care what he might be. He doesn't play, therefore he doesn't play. But this is not we had this guy. Anthony Davis, his health is, we can talk ad nauseum about Russell Westbrook, about Hachimura trade, and LeBron James getting 38,000 X amount of points and breaking the – it's about Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. If he plays, they got a shot, and if he doesn't, they don't. Mm-hmm. It really is that simple. And – he's as good as Jason Tatum. He just doesn't play.
If I play off of Brian's point that he was making, he's not wrong on the – listen, it's obvious here. If the Lakers could have gone back and kept Kyle Kuzma and kept KCP and not traded for Russell Westbrook, they would have done that. Now, that doesn't mean they were going to keep those two players. It just means they would have liked to have used those assets on a different player.
Of course.
If it was DeMar DeRozan and now you had enough money to also keep Alex Caruso and you could sign him, there's different ways that they would have done it. It doesn't mean it was just because of KCP and just because of Kuz. But that quote that KCP had, I don't think they should have broke the team up, that championship team. I feel like they took a lot of their core pieces and broke them up, and the core pieces held everything together as far as that championship team. I feel like they rushed trying to do something new.
But he's right.
But let's just go to the point that you were just making about Anthony Davis, because it's a perfect example. That year that they decided, no, we're going to get Dennis Schroeder, we're grabbing Montrezl Harrell, and we're going to go Marc Gasol. Okay, that team was actually a pretty good team. You know what their downfall was?
Anthony Davis got hurt in the playoffs.
AD was out in the first round.
Yep.
And so it does ultimately, whatever the surrounding pieces are, they're nice. I'm not saying they're not important. They're very important. But if Shaq or Kobe are not playing, it's a wrap. If AD or LeBron are not playing, it's a wrap. If Scottie Pippen or Michael Jordan, it's a wrap. And it would be a wrap now that we're talking about with AD.
I will say this, and this is when you and I, even before we had our show, we did some shows together during that Laker run, right? And after they won, the next day, you and I were sitting in here, and I said, and in the end, I was wrong. Mm-hmm. What KCP just said, I was saying the opposite. I was saying, look, as long as those two guys are here, I don't care who players 3 through 12 are. As long as they're NBA caliber players, you got those two guys, let's see what can happen. Mm-hmm. And I think he's more right than I was, because the lineup that you were laying with the Gasol and the
Montrezl
Harrell and these guys, they're NBA players, and AD did get hurt, and we never got to see it at its best. But we've seen them try to chase it with other auxiliary pieces, and it's never looked as good as it did with KCP, with Kuzma, with Caruso,
Rondo,
with
JaVale,
Dwight. Mm-hmm. That was the group that was the best group for those guys.
But this will go down to the consistent theme. If AD at any point in that Orlando, right, just was unavailable, but that's part of sports, so we'll never know. You know, the every time I talk to Michael about any of this stuff, you hear him say, well, if KD was just healthy, they'd have won 3 in a row. Mm-hmm. Or if Clay was just healthy. But that's sports. That's in general. I mean, we watched 2 games this past weekend. Purdy is out, his UCL tear, whatever he had. He's out 6 months. Yeah, the game is over. There's nothing to talk about unless you're healthy.
You know what? It's funny. I never really thought of it like this, but it's true. Context fades after a while. That after a year or two, there is no more context. Did you win or you didn't? Yeah, well, we didn't win, but Jaquaski Tart dropped an interception in the NFC. No. The Rams won the Super Bowl, brother. Mm-hmm. There is no context. The Rams won. There's not going to be they blew a third down call. No. Chiefs win. They're in. You got another one. The further
Toronto
you get away,
Raptors have a championship.
They won a championship.
They don't. They remember, but they just don't.
But there's no details, context. Yeah. They got it. And especially the people that do. Well, they weren't healthy. So what? I don't care. You didn't win. And the further you get away from it, the truer that becomes. Speaking of young guys.
Yeah.
Will Smith is arbitration eligible here coming up in a little bit. And this is one of those things that you were talking about with Corey Seager, right? That we can let Corey Seager go because we got the next guy coming in. And we've got another guy after that coming in. Finding a catcher is very, very difficult. And the Dodgers have arguably the best catcher in baseball in Will Smith. And if he's not the best, he's not outside the top 3 or 4. He's terrific. He's also a catcher. They don't typically age particularly well. He's not eligible for free agency for another 3 years. You've heard me say this.
And
I think he's
3 more years.
I think he's one of their most important players. They've also got their number one prospect is Diego Cartaya, who's a catcher. They just spent their most recent first round draft pick on another catcher. Mm. This is what they do, and this is why they're so dangerous. Is they can let Corey Seager leave, and it's not fatal. You can let Will Smith leave potentially, and it's not a fatal blow. If you're the A's, the Rays, the Diamondbacks, the Rockies.
Pretty much any team.
Pretty much just about everybody. And players of that level are leaving. You are in deep, deep trouble. So you have to overpay. And now you have less money to spend other places. That they have this pipeline of major league caliber players ready to replace other major league caliber players allows them to say, Corey Seager, we'll pay you this. We're not going beyond this. If the Rangers want to get nuts, good luck to you. We love you. We're going to miss you a great deal. We got another guy. This is the secret sauce. And then because they don't have to pay Will Smith 10% on top of whatever he's worth, Corey Seager, 10-15% on top of whatever he's worth, I've got all this money left there. I can go get Mookie. I can go get Freddie Freeman and fill in these spots where I don't have a guy because I have a guy at the other 8 spots.
How much, just out of curiosity, how much do you think that hurts them in you have a guy that's already there.
Mm-hmm.
He knows the culture. He knows everything that's going on. He's got great experience by the time he gets to that level to where it's about to get paid or whatever the case is. How much does it hurt to have to reset that position? They didn't have to reset with Seager because Trey was mm-hmm. there and they made that deal.
Mm-hmm.
But they're in the process now of resetting that position.
I think it's something. I don't think it's – I think that there are very specific examples of guys who are important to your culture. Justin Turner, Clayton Kershaw. There are guys that are important to it. But generally speaking, I don't think so. I don't think it may. Baseball is a weird sport. It's not – I won't say it's
and
not
they're
a
one
team
of the
sport.
Few teams that can do what they're doing.
For
That's
sure.
why I'm like, all right, well, there's got to be value in having the same guy there.
But baseball, yes and no. Like, baseball is not a team sport like football is. If I'm the left guard, I need to be in perfect sync with that left tackle. Mm-hmm. I need to be in perfect sync with my center. We all three of us need to be moving exactly the same way. If I'm in left field, that doesn't matter what the right fielder's doing. It doesn't matter what the first baseman, the kid, doesn't matter what anybody else. I got to go catch the ball. Shortstop, middle infielder, a little bit different, but not a ton. Baseball's super into it's a series of individual acts in a team format. If you're the pitcher, you can't say, you know what, I'm having a tough day. Bring in the shortstop. Have him pitch. You're on your own. You're in the batter's box by yourself. So those little kind of chemistry things, I think, are less important to baseball than they are to other sports. And so you can say to Will Smith, we love you. Here's how much we love you and for how long we're going to love you. If somebody else wants to love you more, good luck. We're not doing that. It's pretty ice cold, but it's also a really good way to do it. And that's what they have that those other teams don't really – Yankees maybe?
They don't have the – a lot of these other teams don't have the luxury of doing that. That's really what it comes down to. They're going to go have to – they paid Padres paid Bogarts $280 million.
Padres have to overpay.
Even though they have Tatis, who was technically you thought was going to be shortstop, or Ha-Sung Kim, and now he goes out. They got to go pay the $280. Dodgers are unwilling to do that if it's not a player that it's under their terms.
We don't have football for the first time in a long time this weekend. I got questions for you, Slee. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Fighting against your pitcher.
What the hell's going on here?
Can I just tell you how much I enjoy talking about baseball, even in the end of January, last day of January? Only a couple of weeks away from spring training, Slee.
That's right.
I'm going to get super fired up, and the season's going to start, and I'm going to be super fired up. It's like, yeah, we got 6 months to go until they play a game that matters.
It's 60 days to opening day yesterday or something. It's not MLB.com.
It's not super far away.
Yeah, pitchers and catchers report when.
When do the playoffs start? Like, I know the pitchers and catchers is the day that people get fired up. Not if you're a Dodger fan. It's like, when do the playoffs start? Because that's all that matters.
You want to know something crazy? And this is just, this just kind of shows you the history of this team. Padres have been around for 54 years.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time in the history of the franchise they have a waiting list for season tickets.
No way.
That's the first time in the history of – so just kind of go off of, yeah, you kind of starting to get excited, this and that. I think actually, Trav, because they're not a lock to win 111 games and all that, I think this is going to be an interesting Dodger season. I don't think it's the regular – you walk in and it's like, all right, clock
just
in all those wins.
Slapping people around, yeah. I mean, you might be
some
right.
Some good NL teams out there.
Answer me this. Does it make me a bad Dodger fan that I don't hate the Padres and I really like going to their ballpark? Because I do. I don't root for the Padres,
yeah.
But I think they're a fun watch, and yep. I love going to Petco Park. I really, really
okay.
do.
So here is...
Does that make me a bad Dodger fan?
No, let me tell you something. This is as somebody born and raised in San Diego, okay? this has never happened to me before, certainly not here in LA. But then again, it's the Padres and the Dodgers actually played each other in the playoffs, so it became a little different. I was, for the first time, starting to get some dirty looks. I'm like, well, people noticed it? People noticed the hat? Right. They noticed the thing? So to play off what you're saying, I think it's different today than it was 6 months ago, because they actually played in the playoffs and the Padres won.
Yeah.
Maybe not for you, because you got kind of like some SD ties too.
Your I do.
Daughter is at San Diego State. But the Padres have never been in the Dodgers'
way. The Padres
way.
Have never been a threat, I think, is a big part of it. Because as a kid
that,
growing up.
That has a lot to do with it.
I can't. The Giants, nope, not doing it.
Yep.
As a kid growing up in the 70s in L.A., it was the Reds. The Reds were in the NL West, and they had Pete Rose and Joe Morgan and Johnny Bench and Dave Gonzalez. Like, I hated those guys, and I hated the Reds. I hated their stupid pullover jerseys. I hated Pete Rose's haircut. There wasn't anything about the Reds. Sparky Anderson was 38 and looked 78. There was nothing about it I liked. The Padres, kind of, yeah, they're kind of cool.
Okay, listen.
I think it's fish tacos and craft beer.
Let me give you a perfect example.
That's what it is.
All right, he's busy. when the Sacramento Kings win a game, it doesn't bother me at all. I mean, I don't want them to beat the Lakers, but when they beat Memphis, it doesn't bother me. You want to know why? Because there's no colliding. But I'm assuming from his perspective, he wants the Lakers to lose. He's saying Jason Tatum had a clear.
Sure.
That wasn't a foul. Like but that's probably how he perceives it. So I think Dodger fans just don't really care about what the Padres do because they've never been in the way.
And they have killer tacos.
Great tacos.
And there's craft beer everywhere.
Everywhere you go.
Oh, there's another one. Haven't tried that one yet.
Yeah.
Might as well give that one a shot.
Go walk around Gaslamp. That's not a bad place
to be. It's a good spot. Just go play a little wiffle ball in center field. It's a nice night out. Like, I'm not there to watch the – but they're pretty good. I don't know. I'm going to – if they beat the Dodgers again, I will change my tune. But right now they're just kind of like that little brother who finally got an A on a test.
No, here's what it is. If they beat the Dodgers again, you'll still go down there, eat the fish tacos, but you have your back turned to the game. You're drinking the beer. You're not looking at the game at all.
What are you doing? I know we still got a ways to go. It's only Tuesday. Yeah. But this is the first weekend in a super long time where there isn't must-see football. You have any plans?
So I'm actually I'm going down to San Diego this weekend, and I have stuff lined up. I got some stuff I'm doing with some family. When I get out there, it's like you try to do a few things. So, to be honest with you, the timing of no NFL football worked out very good for me. You, on the other hand, I have a feeling you're just sitting there. It's going to be Saturday at noon, and you're like, well, what the hell's going on tomorrow?
I might try to slide in a little golf on Saturday just to have something to do. And then Sunday, but the race isn't until late in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So the
how
race
late?
Is
how late?
It's at night this year. So they're kind of doing it like last year. The race was over by 4 o'clock. I need to figure. I don't even think it starts until after then. They're finishing under the lights. But I got my race. I've got something to do Friday night. We haven't been to our spot in a month, so we got to do that.
Is Henry okay?
I don't know. Maybe not. I'm going to find out on Friday. But yeah, it's
how is it going to a restaurant?
Will he be like annoyed at you that you haven't been there in a month?
He'll ask. He'll ask. That's for sure.
How is it when you go to a restaurant and they recognize you? Because me and my girl have gone to the same restaurant 5 times, and the guy still says, "Hey, welcome. You guys ever been here before?" Yeah, we have. Roger.
It could go either way. It either means you're a really good customer, or you're an entirely forgettable customer. I don't. It's one or the other. It's one or the other. Are you a big tipper, or are you just kind of just right down the line normal? Because I know you're not.
I'm always a bad tipper.
I'm
always 20%.
Yeah. Okay. But you don't go above and beyond if they nail it.
No, I will. If something happens or they're very kind with a pour or something like that, then
that's really the only way they're going to really. Unless you're in there every single day. But if you
if they don't remember me them, at 20, I might as well go 18.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. Like, if you look,
I'm going 17.5, just seeing where, at what point I'm going to get a look.
You need to bump. Go the next couple of times you go, hit 25, and then see if he notices. Because at that point, it's like, if he's not, then you're just
a forgettable guy. Could I be honest? This is specific to this person. Because there's another restaurant that I go to where every time we walk in, the lady is so nice and she's, you know what, let me get you guys your seat. Like, she's really cool. She just does I think she's more personable.
Yeah. Well,
this guy's robotic. He's like, welcome to
crypto.com.
Yeah.
To Smoothie King Center. That is
look,
so
it's
so
a perfect
weird.
Example with Taylor, too, because when I said Taylor hates the Lakers, when I was making fun of Smoothie King Center, he came at crypto.
Well, it's not a great name. And maybe it's just 20 years of Staples Center that kind of felt super familiar.
You're coming at Sleep Train, though. That's what I...
Yeah. He came
I
at
came
Sleep,
Sleep
Train.
That was me.
You see?
Which is a stupid name. I mean, it is. Let's not... I mean, it is.
Sleep Train mattresses.
But for some reason, some corporate entities sound fine. American Airlines Center. That sounds fine. Mm-hmm. Mercedes-Benz Dome. Fine.
SoFi Stadium.
Fine.
SoFi's clean.
Sleep Train clean. Arena? That sounds like a high school gym.
What happened?
It fit that period of the King's history. So.
Smoothie King Arena?
Dignity Health Center.
When I go to basketball games called? At Dana Hills High School, there's a Smoothie King sign on the inside.
I really want them.
Muffler shops
I've never
and
seen a Smoothie King in my life.
I really want them. Yeah, I don't think I have. Do we have them down here?
I'm not.
All Jamba Juice.
I'm anti-smoothie, so I don't know.
Robex.
You've seen that, Jamba.
I really wish that part of their naming rights deal that they actually had to, like, they get to take it off of Smoothie King, and sometimes it's the Berry Blast number 3 center.
Peanut Butter Mood.
Just because there's, like, certain months they're really pushing a certain product. You know what I mean?
So, have you ever had the Peanut Butter Mood from Jamba Juice?
Mm-mm.
It's basically a peanut butter milkshake. It's pretty good. Don't get me wrong, but like that they're selling that in a smoothie shop is the most absurd thing in the world.
Bro, some of these spots.
It's a 9,000 calorie smoothie.
I was just going to say, you're so right. You can so easily go to a place where the colors are bright and it looks like
it's
healthy.
There's fruit in the window.
There's fake fruit or, I don't know, real fake, whatever the case is.
And then wheatgrass and oranges.
You go look at the calorie count. I'm like, I could have went to Carl's Jr. I might as well just go to Carl's.
It's got 3 scoops of sherbet in it, too. We're gonna give you a half a squeeze of an orange, 2 pieces of pineapple, and 3 scoops of vanilla ice cream.
And then like 1 leaf of kale. And like, that's it. Hey, kale is expensive.
Daily serving of vegetables.
Don't put it in
yeah,
there.
But it was mixed in with a hot fudge sundae. Like, what do you want from me? It is pretty good.
Oh, no, those things are...
The
yeah.
peanut butter mood, have you guys ever had the pleasure of having that?
Oh, yeah.
This is pretty fantastic.
Big smoothie guy.
I don't know if I've ever been to Jamba Juice, because, again, I'm not a big smoothie person, so I just don't choose to go often.
I'm not a big smoothie person either, Emily, but it smells so fresh and light and wonderful in there.
I'm going to assume this is no to this. Do you ever make them?
So, do I make them?
Yeah, they're really easy to make.
No. Somebody in my house makes a smoothie every single day.
Susan
makes them. Michael makes them. Okay. Kelly makes them. They are every single day. There is a smoothie made in the house, and it's always, hey, there's a little bit left. You want it? No.
Oh no, you want nothing to do with it.
I don't like the little bits that get in your teeth. There's a lot of things about them that it's like if you put a bunch of peanut butter and some ice cream in there, let's go. But if it's just got frozen strawberries and blueberries and spinach, I'm not your guy.
I love how this has gone back to the peanut butter 3 or 4 different times.
Pretty good. I had peanut butter and jelly for dinner last night. Susan got home from work a little late.
There's nothing wrong with that, by the way.
And she's like, have you eaten? I said, no. She's, what do you want? I said, I don't really care. She made up a pizza, and I hate homemade pizza. It never scratches the pizza itch.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. If I want pizza, I want pizza.
Okay, but
want...
is it because hers, does she have like a really healthy, is it like cauliflower crust?
No, it's regular. The crust is never good, though. I don't care. And it's just not pizza. I want pizza. I want it to come in the box.
I can do pizza, I think, anytime, anywhere.
Homemade pizza? I'm talking homemade pizza specifically.
So she's making
that.
It from scratch, doing her whole thing? No, I mean, I know she's getting the dough or everything else.
But the dough, yeah. She mm-hmm. grates the cheese, puts the meat on, the veggies.
That would sound amazing.
Yeah, poor Susan.
It's not good. She had one last night at a PB&J.
She made that, and then you're just sitting there slapping peanut butter on some bread.
Throwing a PB&J in the blender.
It feels like you're getting ripped off. Like, it's pizza adjacent, but it's not good. Like, I don't know what real pizza has.
Do you tell her that?
She knows I don't like it. So we had separate dinners last night. It was fine. PB&J.
By the way, any day of the week, that's no problem.
100 times out of 100. The Dump, Super Crosstalk, coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. All right, Slee, I want you to read that quote again. This is from the owner of the Rockies.
Yeah, so Dick Monfort, Dick Monfort owns the Colorado Rockies. So it's pretty funny because, you know, we were talking a little bit about baseball and the conversation, all the different teams in the NL that are going to be competing this year. It's going to be different than I think it has been in the past. So one of his quotes to the Denver Post, he's talking specifically about the Padres and what they spent in this last, in the offseason. He says, "That puts a lot of pressure on us, But it's not just the Padres. It's the Mets, the Phillies. This has been an interesting year. What the Padres are doing, I don't 100% agree with, though I know that our fans probably agree with it. We'll see how it works out. I mean, if that's not saying, hey, stop spending your money because now I might have to spend my money, is that not talk about not wanting to face your fan base to try to go get people?
Well, there's no hiding. There's no, well, I'm just not going to do that. And because you can say, look, the Yankees and Dodgers are operating by different rules. If the dude in San Diego is doing it, then the dude in Denver can do it too. It's like this. When your wife goes to a party and you don't want to go, mm-hmm. and you say, well, I'm not going, and she says all the other husbands are going to be there, it's kind of a hard, it's like, well, yeah, but I don't want to. I know you don't want to, but they're doing things they don't want to do. And there's no escape route.
But it does put a lot of pressure on you. Yes, it does. He's talking about his own. I'm sure the Rockies fans are very happy with those quotes.
Yeah, I don't want to spend money like that. Guys, stop spending money so I don't have to spend money. It's a weird deal. Can I offer a quick correction? I got something wrong, Al.
Yep.
Speaking of my lovely wife, she apparently is listening, which is very rare.
I was, but, by the way, Susan, if you did hear, I was defending the pizza. I was saying he should have
pizza. No, it's not pizza related.
Okay.
When it comes to everything I've told you about the pizza, I've said to her, this is an open dialogue.
Is it the smoothie that was in the car for three days?
No, I don't think I don't think she was listening when we talked about that. Don't blow that out of the water. Your weekend is covered. You said yes to a birthday hike for one of her friends on Saturday morning. You're right, I did, and I will be there.
Birthday hike, fun.
Yes. Yeah. Emily, don't rub it in. Don't revel in my birthday hike experience. It will be lovely.
Sounds like a great time.
The people that are having the birthday hike, I like a great deal.
Okay.
It'll be fine. Just would prefer to have
it in
a bar.
How early is the birthday hike?
A birthday pub crawl would be more my speed.
Is this 10 a.m.?
I don't know. Yeah. Probably something like that.
Okay.
Maybe it'll rain. I can only assume that it'll get canceled if it rains. Shohei signed a long-term deal with New Balance. His limited edition 574 cleat will launch this February for $120, which is about the price that a pair of cleats cost. So nothing terribly out of whack. But Shohei getting paid not by the Angels, but by shoe companies now.
You told me something interesting, and I didn't know this. I'm not keeping up in the baseball world. You said New Balance makes good cleats?
They do.
So is the Ohtani, I mean, listen, he's the biggest name in all of baseball. So
sure.
It is the equivalent. It's just different because you're not selling those Kobe's or those Bronze or something like that. Basketball is a much more.
Well, you can't wear Ohtani spikes to class. You know, when you're going out for the night, you don't throw on your Mike Trout vapor spikes to go to the restaurant.
Who's the biggest seller in that space in baseball? Who's it been? Is it Bryce? Is it
like in my lifetime, in my memory?
Like right now.
Right now, it's probably Bryce Harper,
okay.
Who's, I believe, an Under Armour guy, but you don't see a lot of Under Armour stuff. It was Bo Jackson. Like when I was playing baseball, Bo Jackson was the guy that was, and it was Nike stuff. And Nike still does a great job, but we need to get Shohei, New Balance, Nike, or whatever. We got to get him on a team that we can get excited about. Jalen Ramsey was named to the Pro Bowl roster. So was Derek Carr. So was Tyler Huntley. I think it's time we take this thing out back and kind of put an end to it. There's really – all pro means a great deal. Pro Bowl means virtually nothing.
Literally nothing.
Huntley had two touchdowns this season. Two touchdowns.
Okay, wait. Help me out. Why is he on the Pro Bowl?
Because other guys are tapping the mat. They're not going. They got to have. It's a TV show.
I know he's replacing Josh Allen, but aren't there 11 other quarterbacks before him?
Well, who knows how many people said no? So you look. Derek Carr's going. Derek Carr, the guy that just said, "Yeah, I'm out of here. I quit. We're benching you. No, you can't bench me. I quit. I'm leaving." He's in the Pro Bowl. He doesn't even have a team.
What's worse, the Pro Bowl or the slam dunk contest?
About the same.
Where there's just guys that you don't, at least in the slam dunk contest, you don't have to be, it'd be nice if you're a household name, but if you can dunk, we'll watch some good dunks.
That's the thing. I'm going to make a case for the slam dunk contest, which is even though it's G leaguers in some, like literally in some cases, mm-hmm. at least they're doing cool dunks.
Mm-hmm.
At least they're flying through the air and doing the things that you need to do. Watching guys play flag football really isn't really going to settle it for me. Joe Mazzulla will coach the All-Star team. And when asked what it meant to him, speaking of events, nothing.
That's awesome. That's
That's great.
That's a great answer.
It is. It is.
It means nothing to him. Well, can I be fair here? Does it mean much to any of the players that are playing in the All-Star game? I'm not saying that they don't want to be there, but go watch an All-Star game. It's the purpose of an All-Star game in today's NBA is, all right, we'll be here. We'll do what we're asked to do.
Do the bare minimum.
But I am most definitely not caring about what's happening during the game, and the coach has a similar tone.
I don't disagree. However, is there not something that's reasonably prestigious about having the best team in the league and the honor, air quotes, of coaching the All-Star? I'm not saying you'd want to do it. If you're Phil Jackson, I'm sure the novelty of it all wore off pretty quickly. But if you're Joe Mazzulla, that's a nice little feather in your cap once, no?
So he certainly doesn't care. How old is he? He's only 34, too.
Yeah. This isn't Greg Popovich who's saying, I don't give a damn.
You know, Al Horford's 2 years older than him. That's amazing. I just love that. When coaches are younger than their players.
Well, I mean, Sean McVay.
Sean McVay, yeah. I mean, he's
98% of the roster still today.
Speaking of the NFL, Patrick Mahomes, Pat Mahomes, the dad, the baseball player, was on the radio in Chicago, and he retold a story that his family was told that the Bears were going to pick him number 3 overall in his draft class. Obviously, they did not. They took Mitch Trubisky instead. Patrick Mahomes goes to the Chiefs. The rest is history along the way. If that's not a perfect example of luck being just as important as skill, I don't know what is.
Yeah, we joke around about this, but there's every single draft in every single sport. It's impossible to go through a draft and say, can you believe they took this guy over that guy? But then you have, you have generational players that go past. The Luka thing always comes up, right? Yeah. The Luka, Sacramento had a chance. They didn't take him. They take
Atlanta did take him and then traded him.
They take Marvin Bagley.
Right.
Trae Young ends up in Atlanta. There's always generational players. The Lakers, Vlade for Kobe. You never forget those.
And the question, we'll kind of follow this on Super Crosstalk here in a minute, but the question always is, does Patrick Mahomes become Patrick Mahomes in Chicago, or does the aura of the Bears being crappy overwhelm his talent? Does Kobe in Charlotte become Kobe?
Before Mahomes got drafted by the Chiefs, what were they?
They were good, not great. They had Andy Reid as their coach. They were a functioning NFL organization that made good choices, had a good coach, and had a history of being more or less pretty good.
I don't question. I think there's a lot of times some of these greats, these all-time greats, a lot of it does have to do where you end up as well. It's a combination of the two.
And they could afford to have Patrick Mahomes sit for a year because they had Alex Smith ahead of him. So they were good enough that they could let him marinate and then go. They didn't have to push him in right away, which is also another reason why he might have succeeded.
Chicago, Patrick Mahomes. He's like, yeah, remember that guy? He's a pitcher's son. No wonder he couldn't play quarterback. That's what would have happened in Chicago.
By the way, we're talking about the New Balance Shohei deal. The Ken Griffey. Everybody's coming
Griffey's
in.
A great
Griffey's,
one.
Though.
Griffey's a great one.
That's the one.
Right after Bo, and he had that thing locked down as well. Still a little Super Crosstalk. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo! AK is in for John today. Mace, how you feeling, my friend?
I am feeling absolutely fine and pumped up for a show, man.
Outstanding. Outstanding. So, does Patrick Mahomes become Patrick Mahomes no matter where he goes, or does location matter, like in real estate?
Transformational, transcendent players, I think, will find a way to shine anywhere. Now, you talk about now, Charlotte's a fairly dysfunctional organization and has been for a long time. I think Kobe Bryant would have shifted the course of that franchise had he wound up there. And I think Patrick Mahomes would still be a really big star in Chicago right now.
You wonder, Andy, if there is, I don't know if there's a Patrick Mahomes rotting away in some organization, but you've seen it before. Kurt Warner was bagging groceries. We've seen really good players not have an opportunity. Is there a Kurt Warner that never got into the league?
I mean, clearly Tom Brady was not drafted with a whole hell of a lot of belief. What was he, sixth?
Sixth round. Yeah.
Yep. I mean, clearly nobody bought into him.
They certainly weren't sold on his draft picture body.
No.
No, I mean, look at a guy like Brock Purdy, last player chosen in the draft. Look at a guy like Mike Piazza. He was in like the 178th
round. Did it as a favor to Tommy.
Yeah, did it as a favor. Otherwise, we might not even know who Mike Piazza is. I believe there are lots of guys out there. Had they gotten the opportunity,
situation cuts both ways. Because somebody like Kobe obviously would have been great no matter who drafted him. but his opportunity to win as many championships increased dramatically.
I agree with that.
Like, when he entered the Lakers as a good, they were a good team.
Yes.
Like, they were already good
right.
when they drafted him. So joining a team with prime Shaquille O'Neal.
They got, yeah, Shaq that same summer.
Does he become Kobe or does he become Dominique Wilkins?
I think
like it's one of those questions,
I think he's
right?
somewhere in between.
Yeah.
Like, he's still going to be considered an all-time great because he was that great. And, you know, someone like Damian Lillard may never win a championship. Mm-hmm. Nobody disputes how great Dame is. Like, he's clearly not the problem. You know, they just haven't been able to build around him in a proper way.
Yeah, it was just, Andy, you make an interesting point. The idea that, you know, you would have thought that Kobe could have become a magnet to get guys to go to Charlotte, but it is Charlotte. Dame has had really no success in getting big stars to commit to Portland despite his greatness. So who knows?
Like, I think Kobe could have found a way to win a championship at some point over 20 years because he was that great. And mm-hmm. I'm sure if Charlotte or New Jersey, who wanted him, you know, at the time there were New Jersey Nets, weren't good enough, he'd go somewhere else, maybe get a title there. But the opportunity to win three straight, then two straight, those opportunities rarely come up for anybody. Hmm. So the odds just don't favor it.
Are you guys Girl Scout cookie people?
You know, I've not bought any yet. I'm a huge, what's the peanut butter one? The
Emily? What's the peanut butter one called?
Tagalongs? Oh, yeah. My God, those tagalongs are deadly. They are deadly.
I could see Mace buying a lot. Mace, correct me if I'm wrong here. Somebody yes. knocks on your door and they yep. say, yeah, it's they got, they're selling Girl
From
Scout cookies.
Troop 692.
Yep, exactly. Yep. I don't see you saying, I'm not interested. Thank you. In the closing door.
Sorry. No chance.
Knock on that door after 420.
Whatever. Yeah, exactly. Those tagalongs will go pretty quick.
That's
after
when their route starts.
So they don't hit the streets until 421.
Ding dong. Yeah,
exactly right.
It's like a line around Mace's block.
Well, you've seen the pictures of the little girl setting up outside the dispensaries, right? Which is
no,
great.
Are they really?
Oh yeah. Well,
by the way, I did not know that.
Yeah,
that's such a great play.
Every
that's
year,
so smart.
They have their, you know, they got their little wagon with the cookies and. You know, why not? That's the place
that
you know you're going
to
get
somebody.
It's a great
time to explain to your 7-year-old what a contact high is.
I have not bought any Girl Scout cookies yet this year. If somebody wants to hit me up on Twitter, I'll buy a bunch. I'll make sure your kid wins their troop. Isn't there like some prize? You get a badge for selling the most or a sash for selling the most?
We all look at Emily.
We have an expert in the
yes.
house.
Emily oh,
was Emily. The champion every year, she said.
So sometimes it would be a badge. I think typically it was just like an ice cream party or something. It was like you would get like some like a pizza party. It wasn't as crazy as you want it to be.
All right, so we've got the Girl Scout cookies, Mace. They knock on your door, you're buying. We were talking about this earlier. When a kid comes by selling something for his basketball team, Girl Scouts,
yes.
whatever it might be, are you a yes every single time?
I'm a yes every single
so
time.
So am I.
Yeah, I mean, whatever I got in my wallet, I will buy that much of whatever it is you're selling, because I, you know, when as a kid, it takes a lot for a yes. for a little kid to walk up to a door and knock on it and hope they're going to get a good reaction, and they're nervous. And,
what did you have to sell as a kid?
We had to sell Snickers bars
yeah.
At school to go to some class trip, I think. You see different stuff, but Girl Scout cookies are the primary thing that kids sell, isn't it?
Well, so yes, but in our neighborhood, like for instance, my son is involved in around the holidays for his baseball team. They sell Christmas trees.
Oh,
okay.
Nice.
So they will sell, and he's got his customer list that he's cultivated over his years in high school. So he's got some automatics, but. Not everybody says yes, but the vast majority of people are like, well, I don't want the tree, but here's a donation. You give the tree to somebody else. Very few people say no. Andy, you're looking at me like you might be a no guy.
Some of it is I have to be responsible for keeping a child from eating too many of these cookies.
Right, right.
So I'm not saying no so much for myself as I'm saying it to be the responsible adult in the house. Because my sixth grader loves her some sweets, and I have to be the one that makes sure that moderation wins the day.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to being the one that left to his own devices, might enjoy some Thin Mints.
Although you can always say, give them to the troops, right? That's the big thing is give them to the troops. I'm looking at myself on YouTube right now. It's friggin' weird.
What? Why?
Because normally I'm not like looking into my computer and looking into
my
camera.
He has it opened up right now.
I've got it opened up right now, so my hand gestures are...
Is this Girl Scout cookie related? Because it took like a turn in the middle of your Girl Scout.
It did. No, I opened up YouTube and I'm like, oh, crap, look, I'm... Because normally...
He's like,
this
tell you
what's
set up.
Girl Scouts see me?
The guys that set this up do a great job. This is what people see. It looks really good. I can see. Can you see my dog pictures behind me?
I can. I'm not on the YouTube feed right now.
Oh, right. You're not. So you'll go my dog pictures.
So you just staring at yourself right now? Are you?
Yeah. You got to just stare into the green light, and you got to like.
Look. You should start doing push-ups and be like, oh, I had no idea the camera was on.
Just jumping jacks, push-ups, and eating your kale smoothie.
I had no idea.
No one else wants to put those Thin Mints in the freezer? That's Andy.
That's a big Ireland thing. Thin Mints in
They're
the freezer
awesome
is like a big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also like the, what are the ones with the coconut and the chocolate
Samoas?
Lines
Samoas.
Samoas. Yeah.
Oh, those are amazing.
Good.
Those are very
Yeah, those
good.
Are, be careful of those.
I know we've already, is it the peanut butter patty one, the one that we're talking about? Are you talking about the hard peanut butter cookie?
So there is the chocolate and peanut butter one. That is a tag along.
That's the, yeah.
Tag along.
And then there's another one that's like the peanut butter in the middle.
Yeah.
Cannot remember the name of that one.
That's
right now.
Like a Nutter Butter. It's like a Girl Scout branded Nutter Butter.
Yeah. Something like that.
Emily had the best idea. She would wait for Super Bowl parties. That's when she'd go sell all these.
Oh,
I didn't know
really
that
smart.
Was. But who's saying no to that? Nobody is saying no. She probably has
drunk at a Super Bowl party.
She probably has like a full like a truck full of cookies in the back.
Right,
she's got
right.
a clientele there. She's would treat it like a real business.
That's a good
no,
deal.
That's a smart play. That's
she made 60 grand that year. She was 8.
Do you guys go to Super Bowl party? Like I haven't even been invited to a Super Bowl party in a while.
I typically,
or are we supposed to call it a big game party?
Yeah, well, I think we're okay garbage. As long as it's not endorsing a product. I believe is how that works out.
Presented by.
I like a Super Bowl party. I do. There's a couple that I've gone to regularly over the years. I enjoy them a great deal. I don't have to be alone. I like the social. I like the food. The game. You're going to see the game easily enough. But I love that absolute unbelievable spread of a little bit of everything all day long.
I haven't been to one in a long time.
I was going
to
say, I feel like it's kind of, is it just, did it lose a little steam?
Well, COVID.
I think COVID.
But even pre-COVID, was it going like crazy?
We went every year. Mm. If I wasn't working because the Rams were in it, I was absolutely going to one every single year. Are you a party guy, Mace?
Yeah, I would love to. Yeah, I like going to a party. And I, you know, normally we would throw parties on a pretty regular basis over here. I think, Sleo, I remember you like tripping down the steps one night with
a drunken
Chris Morales.
100%. Ended up at the neighbor's house.
Yeah, exactly.
Hop the fence.
So I like to throw a good party. We haven't thrown one since COVID. But Super Bowl party, it's funny. I was talking to the guy that directed 80 for Brady, which is coming out on Friday.
Okay.
And it all is a retelling of that. Is it 2017 where it was 28-3?
Yes.
And they came all the way back. And it's all about that particular Super Bowl. And I just remember that one really clearly because I was at a great big Super Bowl party at Michelle Beadle's house and watching the game with Keyshawn Johnson. And we were all so happy that the Patriots were getting trounced in that game. And I remember Allie McKay, who used to work at K-Rock, was there. She's a huge Patriots fan. And we were just, you know, laughing at it and thought it was so great to see Brady lose. And then we watched that lead drip away in the second half. And,
and
we
it got actually, very quiet.
We actually went so far as to – Beadle had a Tom Brady pinata that we ended up – it breaking for the candy afterwards, but it was not with the celebratory tone that we were hoping for.
It was more personal.
Yeah, it was more personal. By the way, 80 for Brady, really fun movie.
Well, I'm glad you said that. You said you did speak to the director, or you're going to?
Yeah, no, in fact, the podcast came out today. A guy named Kyle Marvin is also an actor, directed that movie, and he's directing, of course, Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin, Rita Moreno, Sally Field.
Yeah.
And then in the movie, Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, Julian Edelman, and Danny Amendola.
Have you seen it, Mace?
Yeah, I saw it. I saw it last week. It's really, really fun.
Okay. And this is asked with absolutely no agenda whatsoever.
Okay.
Who's that movie for? Is it for old ladies? Is it for football fans? Is it for everybody? Like, the demographic for that movie, I'm struggling to put my finger on who that
That's
movie's
fair.
For.
Yeah.
That is a good question. Who is the Democrat? Well, like Ireland said, I'm going to take my mom to see that movie.
Okay, so older ladies.
Older ladies, yeah. If you're a Patriots fan, I would imagine it holds some appeal because it's all about that particular game. I hate Tom Brady and hate the Patriots, and the movie still completely worked for me. So, yeah, but it's a good question. I see the commercials during NFL games, but I wonder if the average NFL fan is going to go see.
They're promoting it like crazy.
It's nonstop.
I'm guessing the hope is that it's just enough sports for the sports fan, or it seems that way if nothing else.
Yes.
But you're reaching a different demographic, the older women and, you know, older men as well, because they grew up loving these stars as well. And thinking you can maybe pull them in. What I actually think is going to be difficult with that is, it's my understanding, and Mace, you probably know this as somebody who used to own theaters and I know keeps up with the business.
Yep.
It's been harder to get older people into theaters now.
Because of it?
Regardless, yes.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, because and older people don't like to go into the theater because you're sitting in a dark room with everybody breathing and all that stuff. I mean, I don't have any hesitation, but like, and my mom and not stepdad Leo will go to the movies too. So, but you're right, Andy. It is those movies that skew more towards adults and less towards yes. Marvel that are the ones that have had a hard time since the pandemic. So it's an interesting experiment. I mean, I think they've promoted it so much that there's going to be business in it. I don't know how much, but I think it'll be a modest hit.
That's what I mean. Like, for instance, like you said, it's been promoted like crazy. The mm-hmm. trailer came out a few months ago. Remember we talked about it? This was probably back in the summer, Al, when we saw the trailer for it. I'm like, yeah, that looks cute, and I get it. But, for instance, my dad is roughly the age of those women and a huge sports fan. He's not going to go see that movie.
It couldn't be, though, expensive of a movie, though.
No, but my mother is roughly the same age and is a big sports fan. My mom's not going to see that. I'm just struggling to put my finger on who the movie's
yeah,
for.
Yeah, but do they normally go to movies?
Yes, they do.
Oh, your mom and dad
I mean,
they're not
a movie a week, but they go to the movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's business in that movie.
Okay, we'll know whether or not this movie's going to work if my mom doesn't go, because she sees
everything.
Okay.
Like,
good for her.
Oh, yeah. She sees everything, and she is of that age demographic, and I guarantee she is a fan of all four actresses.
Will you go, Andy?
No.
Will you go, Slee?
I will not. Yeah.
Mason's already seen it.
I've already seen it.
Yeah. Now, if you said Babylon again for 3 hours, I'll go see that movie twice.
Don't take shots at Babylon.
No,
that's
it's just long.
Movie.
It was good. I thought it was good, just a little long.
Would I, Mace, you know, we've known each other a long time.
Yes.
Would I like 80 for Brady?
Let's see. I'm going to say it's not for you, Travis.
I think that's probably right.
I'm going to say it's not for you.
Unless
you got a crush on Jane Fonda.
No, one of them had kind of my attention for a while.
Rita Moreno.
Sally Field.
Well,
smoky.
Rita Moreno was.
Rita Moreno still looks incredible. Still
so does Sally Field. Yeah. I mean, look, Smokey and the Bandit, when I was, Sally Field, Smokey and the Bandit, let's go.
Those movies were such a big deal.
Oh, hell.
Remember? And Jackie Gleason played
the sheriff.
The sheriff.
Buford T. Justice.
Exactly. Oh, those are such good movies. Those are such good movies from the day.
Tell me you did not want a black Trans Am with a Firebird on the hood. Tell me
yes, I did.
And a cowboy hat with the feathers on it.
Yes.
Burt Reynolds must have raised the Trans Am industry like 1,000%. Like the sales of Trans Am must
T-top.
Have gone through.
Yes. T-top Trans Am.
Is there another kind?
Yeah. Probably
I'm being
not.
Serious. Is there
Maybe
another
not.
Kind?
Maybe not. Every time you'd see one in the parking lot, you're like, I wonder if Burt Reynolds and Sally Fields are making a pit
so,
stop
you know, it's
at
funny.
McDonald's.
Burt Reynolds had terrible taste in movies. Like he granted, he did Smokey and the Bandit, which is great.
Boogie
great
Nights.
Series.
He hated Boogie Nights.
He I know hated he did. Boogie Nights.
I know. Oh, really? Great movie though.
Yes.
He turned down Superman, which went to Christopher Reeve. He turned down. There's one
Terms
more
of Endearment, I'm
down.
Pretty sure.
He turned down Terms the Nicholson of Endearment, role. And wow. Nicholson took the role. Yeah, I mean, he had a famously bad taste in movies. Couldn't identify a good script, but was very, very cool in his day.
Whatever happened to Smokey and the Bandit, Cannonball Run, like these movies where it's just, let's just drive
Reynolds,
past.
Reynolds spent an entire decade just driving.
Yeah, he did. Cannonball Run was another one.
Yes. Yeah. Cannonball Run was awesome. I think there was a sequel.
The opening of The Longest Yard. It's him leading him on a police chase.
Yeah, right.
in like a Trans Am type car.
Let's bring him. Burt, we can't do it with Burt. We have to find who's the modern day Burt Reynolds. Who's the
modern
guy?
Day Burt Reynolds?
Yeah. Ooh. Is it like Channing Tatum?
Who's the modern day? That's actually a good
you know
question.
Who it could be actually Austin Butler.
Okay,
he's got a lot of cool.
Okay,
he's only done one movie that I know he's got, of.
Well, he'd been. You know what? I didn't realize till I just watched Elvis and I was looking up his IMDb. He was Tex Watson in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, was I didn't really?
Realize. That. I didn't realize it either.
I actually saw that. Actually.
Well, here's the thing about him. Did you read all this stuff about how he can't stop talking like Elvis?
I didn't need to read about it. I saw him at the Golden Globes talking like he was raised in Memphis when he grew up in Orange County.
So his voice coach came out and said that he was so immersed in the character that he can't stop talking like
I think that happened to Jeff Bridges with the dude in Lebowski. He has sounded like the dude for like 30 years now.
I've seen him at a grocery store drinking milk just right out of the...
Madonna spoke with a British accent for a period of time.
Yes.
It's not unprecedented.
No.
I got to get home to see which streaming service Smoking the Bandit's on. I got my afternoon covered. Mason in Ireland coming up next, and Super Crosstalk is powered by In-N-Out Burger. That's what a hamburger's all about. We'll see you tomorrow.